Our podcast will begin in just a moment. InvestTalk distribution made possible, as always, by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. Ultra-conservative investments make money 10% of the time and never lose. At the other extreme, some Far East funds lose money as much as 60% of the time and make money only 40% of the time. So what level of risk are you up for? Try our award-winning risk analysis tool and discover something about yourself. It puts a number to your risk tolerance. From there, if you'd like, professionals at KPP Financial can tell you if your current retirement plan is a good match for your risk number. Just look for the InvestTalk tab and then risk analysis on investtalk.com. End of commercial. And now today's InvestTalk.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Invest Talk. It is April 27, 2016, and I appreciate you being with me. And of course, our main focus is helping you sort out the factors that lead to making a good decision about investing, better decisions about where your money goes. And that's what we're all about, trying to improve you to be above average, not be average. And we have this hour together, so I hope you feel welcome to join in the discussion, make your calls, ask your questions. We have seen massive swings in the markets over the last 20 years, have we not? And riding those waves can be pretty scary and sometimes frustrating. That is why one of your jobs as an investor is to be able to sense when major market tops and bottoms are forming, so you can capture some returns, the biggest returns you can to the upside, and avoid the massive downturns, the declines. So you need to learn how to sense market sentiment. So where do you see signs of that? How do you sense it? Now, one indicator over is cover stories of major publications. When they highlight a certain asset class or industry, telling the world how great it's been and how great it is, or even how bad it is, that's when you say, if it's too great, don't buy it. What happens is these publications and the people on TV pound the table how great something is. That means it's in its last hurrah. That's what that means. When everybody's on board, you're going to be the last one on board. Do you ever get the sense that you're always, when you buy something, it always turns around and goes down? That's because you heard it too late. I'll give you the examples. Give you some examples. 1999, The Economist ran a cover story entitled Drowning in Oil. That was in 1999. We talked about $5 oil right before oil began an 8-year run to $145 a barrel. And when that occurred, the same magazine, cover story, had a big story about oil running up and how it's going to stay high and how much demand is coming on. And then the oil began to drop. That's the way it runs. In 2005, Time Magazine ran a cover story entitled Home Sweet Home. That marked the real estate bubble fall, started to fall. In 1979, Business Week ran a cover story called The Death of Equities. Stocks, 1979. For years, they didn't do anything. And then right after that cover story, 1980s and 90s, the market began to rally. Now, history is filled with these kinds of examples, everybody. These are just some. So when the public finally catches wind of a great run of a certain asset class, it usually marks the top. Professionals usually get in early because they do this for a living. So the public reacts to fear and greed, reacts to both those. You have to learn better than that. So your job as a successful investor is not to follow the crowd. If everyone at your circle of friends is talking about some kind of investment, you be the first one to sell. Because if they're all talking about buying something, time to get out. Remember, you want above average returns. And that's buying when there's sellers and selling when there's buyers. Don't get involved with the craze. It's all about hard work and discipline. Discipline. Pretty hard to do sometimes. I totally understand that. I know. So let's talk about your money topics. What do you want to talk about? I mentioned learning to gauge the market and economic trends. Do you have a question about shorting? You know what shorting is? As I said, InvestTalk is a question and answer program. We're here to try to help you anytime we can. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number. So let's go. Let's take on a question right now.
Hi, my name is Matt. I listen to you guys out on podcasts in Chicago. I was wondering, with all the volatility in Europe, if there's a good ETF that essentially shorts the euro. I don't know anything about buying and selling currency, so I was hoping to just buy an ETF. That sounds simpler. Any thoughts on that would be much appreciated. Thank you. Bye.
There is, and I'm just trying to think. There is an ETF that shorts. I'm going to try this one. And I cannot recommend anything on the air, everybody. As you know, you can't ask me to recommend something and me to come up with a, do this. I can't do that. SEC has rules. But there is an exchange trading fund corresponding to twice the inverse daily performance of the U.S. dollar price of the euro. Okay, it's under ProShares. Go to ProShares.com and you'll find it. Okay, so there are funds that short the euro. There's our ETFs that almost short everything. It's going to be one of our main talking points today. Why not all ETFs are created equal? So that exchange-traded funds can be profitable investments, but there are some potential pitfalls. And ProShares was one of the pitfalls we'll talk about that ProShares does. But there are ETFs to short their euro. So that's going to be one of our talking points. ETFs are not created equal. I wanted to make sure I get to the China. Is China creating zombie corporations? We didn't get to that yesterday, so I hope to get to it today. Bad times for hedge funds. Have you seen how bad they've been doing? Oh, man, they have been doing terrible. But we'll talk about that briefly. Fed leaves the rates alone, which we all knew. But what did Janet say? What did she say? This was Federal Reserve met the last 2 days and released their stance this morning, later in the morning or early afternoon. So we're going to talk about that. And living paycheck to paycheck is usually a choice. You don't have to live that way. Now there aren't people that have to live paycheck to paycheck. I'm saying that most of the time, it's a choice. Meaning, you choose to spend every dime paycheck to paycheck. And you wonder why you can't save money or why. It's a choice. You're choosing to do that. And I'm going to give you some reasons why you choose to do that. And if you want to not do that, you have to stop doing these reasons I'm going to give you. It's not that hard. You feel it's hard, but it's not. It's not. 888-99-CHART. What did the market do today? Well, it was mixed. The Dow was up 53. The Nasdaq was down 25. A lot of that because of Apple. And the S&P up 4. So the market is just kind of churning sideways the last couple of weeks. It's called topping. We call it topping. I've mentioned it's hit resistance near the highs it made last year, near the highs. The high in December, it's just hitting resistance. Resistance means it's gone up, and it's just trying to break through. And it needs some kind of catalyst to break through, and it's not getting much of it. But, you know, we're in the midst of earnings season. 900 companies report earnings this week. And so far, it's been pretty ho-hum. There's been some surprises on the upside and some big surprises on the downside. But overall, it's been kind of okay. Not very good. Compare it year over year, not good at all. Compare quarter to quarter, not very good. Compared to earnings estimates by the experts, it's doing okay because the experts like to ratchet down their expectations so they can say, oh, the earnings beat expectations. But from a pure earnings point of view, not very good. Just not very good. We're glad you're with us today on InvestTalk. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. I invite you to join our InvestTalk Insiders. It's a way to have access to all sorts of good information. Just added for insiders my short ETF list. People have been asking, man, if you're an insider, you can get the list of short ETFs. You can buy those in IRAs, you know. Opportunities in the market do not always come in the form of buying investments. Sometimes the best opportunities are selling assets. Sign up for free at InvestTalk.com. Click on the InvestTalk tab.
Hi, Steve and Justin. My name is Gary. I'm calling from Massachusetts. I'm listening to your show most every day on podcast. My question today is on HCP. It's a REIT, and I'd like to know your long-term opinion to hold this REIT 10 years or more. Thank you very much. Take care.
I would definitely hold it for 10 years or more. HCP, everybody, HCP Inc., it's a REIT, real estate investment trust, that owns and acquires and leases 1,108 healthcare-related facilities. That's what I like about it. Healthcare-related facilities, I like it because baby boomers are getting older. They're going to be using more of these types of facilities. It is growing its sales 10% a quarter pretty consistently in the last year or so. Earnings have gone are going to be down 12% this year from last year, and then rebound 2%. So the dividend of 6.7% might go down. Remember, a REIT pays 90% of the earnings out in the form of a dividend to you as a shareholder. And if it does that, that qualifies it for a REIT. It's got to be involved in the real estate somehow. And it doesn't have to pay corporate income tax that way. So, and it has pretty decent debt, but you would expect a REIT to have debt because they're borrowing money to buy properties. But you don't want to be too much. I'm going to say that over the long haul, this is a $16 billion REIT. Over the long haul, it's going to pay very nice dividends over the years and should do decently. It's not going to be a screaming up at all. Even if it goes sideways and you get your 6% dividend, you should be happy with that. Okay, so you want to buy it when it's on sale. And it spiked down in February, March, right? January, February, March. It spiked down and started to recover in late February, well, maybe mid-February. It started to move up and went down to $26, and now it's $34. So you want to buy it when it goes on sale, and then you just hold on to it. HCP. Good company. Let's go to Simon in Fremont. How you doing, Simon?
Hey, I'm good, Steve.
Good. Thanks for the call.
I'm calling about energy transfer to see if the energy is off the lows.
Okay, this is ETE, right? ETE, Energy Transfer,
yes.
Equity. That is a master,
yes,
limited partnership owning 100% general partner interest of Energy Transfer Partners and Regency Energy Partners. Okay, sales have been going down for them. They're out bouncing off their lows, but sales have been going down the last four quarters, because oil and natural gas prices are really low. But they're going to make money. They made money last year. They're going to make $1.25 this year. That's per share. That's 13% higher. And then $1.65. So those numbers are looking like they're turning up. And insiders are buying. So this would probably be a good place to buy it. You want the sales to turn around. And the sales will only turn around when prices of oil and natural gas turn around. And I think we've seen the bottom of those. So I think it's a decent purchase, a decent buy, Simon, ETE. Now, it's a master limited partnership. One of the things I need to warn people at, being a master limited partnership, if you own this company and the company goes bankrupt, you may have to pay money, because you are an owner of a master limited partner. It's not a common stock that's traded out there. And if you're an owner, you just lose all the money that you, if it goes bankrupt. If a master limited partnership goes bankrupt, you could be held responsible for what they owe, your share of what they owe if they get a lot of debt. So just be aware of that. Appreciate the call, Simon. There's a danger. There's one of them that went under, and people are getting very upset because they're being billed for more money after they lost all their money in the shares. Well, a master limited partnership has that danger, has that possibility. So be aware. Unlike a REIT, REIT does not have that possibility. A stock does not have that possibility. Okay? This is Invest Talk, a place to talk about your money. I'd love to hear from you about your portfolio. What's your mix of assets? Let's talk about it. 888-99-CHART. 888-992-4278. We're going to talk to Dave in Sunnyvale. How are you doing, Dave?
Good. How are you, Steve?
I'm good. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
So my question, I just heard you talk about HCP, which is the healthcare REIT.
Yes.
And I was, right now my portfolio is 20% bonds and 80% stocks. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's a mix in index funds between domestic, large cap, small cap, and also international. So it's pretty standard. But I don't have any exposure to anything besides stocks and bonds. So I was interested in maybe going, like, at this time, because this is about the time I rebalance, mm-hmm. to go into REITs, maybe 5% allocation to REITs. And I was looking at HCP, and I was also looking at VNQ, which is the Vanguard
mm-hmm.
Index REIT. And I saw there's a pretty big yield difference. It looks like the HCP is a good bit higher, and I was wondering if maybe you could explain that or had anything I should look at there.
Yeah, HCP, remember, is a specific REIT for a specific area of real estate, which is healthcare-related facilities, okay? And it's a $16 billion company, which is pretty big, okay? Now, when you're talking about, when you talk about VNQ, which is the Vanguard REIT that's tracking the U.S. REIT index, it's tracking the index of all these different kinds of REITs. And there's many different kinds of REITs. So you're much broader in the Vanguard REIT ETF, at least this particular one, because it's tracking an index of REITs, which means you're now involved with, you know, apartment REITs and warehouse REITs and office building REITs, as well as healthcare, you know, facility REITs, okay? So I don't really care for the broader one because real estate is very, you know, it's very specific as far as what real estate works really good now. Apartment REITs might be very poor now because values have gone up so high in various parts of the country, or it might be good if the apartment REIT is in focus in a certain area of the country. Whereas I like healthcare REITs better because of the fundamentals behind the push of healthcare facilities, which is older and older baby boomers, a big slug of the population. And that's why I say I kind of like that area. REITs in general, I just think that they might be a bit overpriced right now. But remember, the previous caller said want to know about 10 years. Well, I think healthcare REITs over the next 10 years is going to do very well. But I can't say that about all REITs. Okay? So, and it really depends on you. Do you want to be have a broader exposure to a lot of different REITs? Well, then you'd use this Vanguard REIT here because it's low priced and you get a very broad exposure to REITs. Pays a 4.3% dividend. It will probably always pay 4.3% dividend. It's a $30 billion REIT. You know, it could pay a little bit more, a little less, but fairly steady. And it's the same kind of thing. You want to buy when it's cheap. I mean, this was bottomed at $71 twice, one last September and again here in February. Now it's 82. I probably wouldn't buy it now because it's run up. All the REITs have run up. I think I'd wait for a pullback. But it's still a good REIT.
So which of the two do you think would have more price volatility?
HCP probably. HCP.
Because it's more specific.
Yes, exactly. It's focused. So this would be less volatile, but it has risen up nicely, and so you may want to wait because the market will probably have a pullback sometime in the summer, and this will probably pull back with it, and then that's what you want to buy it when everybody else doesn't want it, when the market's on sale. Okay.
So REITs are still correlated to the market in general?
Yeah, to some degree, yes, but they are less volatile than the market in general because of the dividends they pay. People start if this goes down to $70, the dividend is no longer 4.3, but it's probably about 5.3. Right now at $82, you see, so as it goes down in price, it attracts more people to keep it from falling any further.
Right.
Same
okay,
thing.
Thanks a lot.
Appreciate the call, Dave. But the same thing goes with dividend paying stocks. The higher the dividend, the lower the price, the more it attracts people back into buying it. So it's not as volatile as the whole market. Dave, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Thank you very much. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. We're talking about REITs. Everybody, this is a REIT day, I guess. But not all REITs are created equal, everybody. Be very careful. Think about liquidity of the REIT. Some of them are not traded very much. So therefore, the spread of the, even though they may track an index or a specific sector, the spread may be high and it may not be very liquid. Check the size of the REIT. That's important. You want a bigger REIT because it gives you more flexibility. It stays closer to the index or whatever it's tracking. Watch for expense ratios. We just talked about Vanguard. Vanguard has some of the lowest priced REITs, ETFs out there. Lower price meaning lowest cost. Not talking about trading costs. I'm talking about the internal fee that every REIT charges, just like a mutual fund. So there's certain things you want to look at. There's an article for you to check out. Be careful of the leveraged REITs. You know, those are trading vehicles. Those are not investing vehicles. So there's a lot of REITs out there. It's like 1,500 of them. So there's quite a few to pick from. So just be aware of what you're picking. You're listening to Invest Talk. When does a growth stock turn into a value opportunity, a value stock? What money topic do you want to talk about? 888-99-CHART. Please feel free to call.
We thank you for subscribing to our podcast, and a reminder that no matter where you live in the United States, you can take Steve up on his offer to review your portfolio. He does a few of these each month on Skype or telephone. To schedule your time with Steve, just click on the Invest Talk tab on investtalk.com and then Portfolio Review. Now it's time for your call. 888-99-CHART is the number for InvestTalk. And if you're listening online today, you can sign up for the weekly KPP Premium newsletter right now. Try it for a month, and if you're not really enthused about it, we'll give you a refund. Just look to the left column of InvestTalk.com.
888-99-CHART. What do you want to talk about? We're going to go talk to Sam. He wants to talk about Facebook. How you doing, Sam?
Hey, Steve. How are you?
Good. Thanks for the call.
Thanks for taking my call. So, two questions. I hold both Apple and Facebook. They've had very different news in the last couple of days.
Yeah.
What do you think about selling each one of them?
About selling them?
Yes.
Well, Facebook is probably going to open up high tomorrow because they had really good, about $10, probably from 108 today to probably 118. I think that's what they're selling for after hours. So, Facebook is really going to rise tomorrow. And it will be a breakout. I wouldn't necessarily sell it on the breakout, but I would. What's your price? What did you pay for it, Sam? Facebook.
I'm probably about 30% up.
Okay. I would not complain because the good news is going to be out. I mean, it's going to be out. So the chances are for it to keep running pretty slim. Until they have better news of something, you know, something else that's coming out. But Facebook is a good company to own. It'd be tough for me to sell it on a good day. Apple, because it got beat up, it'd be tough for me to sell it on because it got beat up too. If you're a long-term holder, you would hold on to both of them. If you're a trader, you'd probably sell Facebook and hold on to Apple because it's already taken a hit. I think it might go down lower. Apple could. But we're in the mid-cycle for Apple phones. You know, we're at the bottom of their cycle. So if the market goes down, all of it's going to go down. I wouldn't have a problem with having lots of cash on the sidelines, Sam, but it depends on you. Are you want to be a trader, you probably sell Facebook, and you probably see if Apple holds. If Apple holds where it is after the bad news, then you hold on to it. If it continues to fall from the bad news, I might get out of Apple at this point. So it depends on you.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for the call. Facebook is doing so well, it's hard for me to sell it just because it's doing well. But you might have a tight stop on it so that, you know, it doesn't, you don't want to lose your profits on that. Apple, you know, it needs to hold right around $100 a share. It's 104 right now. Need to hold that. Okay, China. Is China creating zombie corporations? What we're seeing in China, and remember, it's opaque. You don't get to see a clear picture in China ever. What's happening is China is has high and increasing corporate debt that are that the companies cannot pay. They're borrowed money. They really can't afford it. And the government is trying to keep them afloat. So what it's doing is making banks take equity in place of the bonds. But all that does is transfer debt to the backs of the banks, and the companies still are very heavily indebted. They're not like getting out of the problem, clearing the problem out. That's not what's happening. Is that they still have heavy debt, and the banks are being forced to take shares of companies that can't afford the debt that they have. They're not like forgiving all the debt, and then therefore they'll survive. That's not what's happening. They're not writing off the debt. So the defaults have increased about 160% of GDP, according to the International Monetary Fund in a study. Loans at risk are about 15.5% of total bank loans, or about $1.3 trillion. So what's happening is these corporations, a lot of big corporations in Japan and China, can't afford their debt. The banks are being forced by the government to take equity in the corporations instead of writing off the debt or forcing the corporation to go bankrupt, making the more efficient corporations come to the fore. It kind of reminds me of what happened to Japan in the late 1980s and early 1990s. Making banks take on bigger portions instead of getting their debt paid or writing off the debt and trying to get clean, they would take over corporations or have higher and higher interests and stakes and stocks in corporations instead of being paid for the loans. And all this does is doesn't solve the problem of bad loans. All this does is make the companies trying to struggle through, and this is the idea. Don't file bankruptcy. Matter of fact, there's no really good bankruptcy laws in China. Don't really address the problem. Just try to string it along. Does that sound familiar? And then you end up with a bunch of companies that are unhealthy. Now the banks are unhealthy as well as the companies. Everybody's unhealthy, and they can't grow. So what, you know, this problem can be hidden quite a long time from us. But at some point, it comes to roost. Look what happened in Japan. They're still, that started in early 1990s, late 1989. This problem started then. Their stock market is still way below. It was at 40, their Nikkei was in 40,000, was it 20 now, 18,000? From 1990s, early 1990s. Let's go to Sheree in Fremont. How you doing, Sheree?
I'm doing fine. How are you, Steve?
I'm good. Thank you for the call. I appreciate that.
Okay, Steve, I have two questions. First one is, now that May is almost around the corner, mm-hmm. Is this a time this year to sail in May and go away?
I would probably think that would be a wise thing to do. Will it actually happen? No one really knows. I don't have a crystal ball, but there's certainly no reason why this May should be strong. I would say that you're seeing a market hit resistance. You're seeing the Nasdaq underperforming the Dow and the S&P. You're seeing it kind of roll over, the Nasdaq roll and the Dow and S&P just kind of be flat for the last couple of weeks. Kind of hints at, Sheree, go away in May might be the way. And then remember, you got the psychology of people thinking in those terms anyways. And the earnings are not a catalyst to go higher. Tell me what's going to push the stock market up. What? And the value of the stock market is going up, even though the price of the stocks are not, because the earnings is going down for corporations. So your PE is rising when the price is not rising. Just the earnings, the E is going down. I don't, Sheree, the only catalyst you have is that the Fed is not raising interest rates, but they're not lowering them or doing QE either. You know, so.
Yeah, but then, but in that case, if the market is going to go in the other way, how far lower it can go?
It can go. It can go to zero, but it won't. But give it another 10% correction is clearly in the realm of possibility, and it could be higher than that. But to know where exactly, Sheree, I don't know. You know, I think between you're going to have a between a 10 and 20% correction somewhere in the next few months, and it could start in May.
But, okay, now next question then is about the oil. Oil is going up and up. Today it closed at $45.20. What is your projection about oil? Have we topped the oil now, and is oil also going to go down along with the market?
I think the oil will go down with the market, but it won't go down as much. And I think you may see oil rebound to $50, $60 a barrel sometime later this year. I think. That's what I think.
Oh, okay.
I just don't think it's going to be. It's not going to go down to, unless we go into recession, which I don't see us happening at this time. Unless we go into recession, I can't see it going down to the low 20s again. Not this year, anyways. I don't see that. In a recession, it may
So we may see, similar to the market, you expect 10 to 20% downside for the oil also.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks, Sheree.
All right. Thank you, Steve.
So I just gave you my crystal ball gaze, which is virtually impossible to do, right? But, you know, I like playing the probabilities. There's possible things, the possible scenarios, but the probability is the market is going to have a correction because it always does. It's just how deep and when. I have a hard time telling you what when that's going to happen. But odds are very good of a correction in the summer sometime. The odds are very good. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. We're going to do Invest Talk 101. Why new rules for financial advisors may save you money. Now, the Department of Labor, touched on this the other day. The Department of Labor has tried to nudge brokers toward a fee-based business. Why am I saying that? Because they've changed the rules saying instead of the suitability rule, which means is an investment suitable, they now have to justify, you know, an asset that you buy or they recommend that you buy, whereas the best in class instead of just being suitable. Well, that means they can't offer assets where they just make commissions on. They make higher commissions on this group of assets than is suitable and less commission on this group of assets, which is better. They can recommend the one that makes more money on. So that helps registered investment advisors like myself, because we don't do that. We are already have the fiduciary requirement to try to get you the best that there is. So you can expect more brokerage firms to convert to commission-based accounts, fee-based accounts, and that's good news. To convert commission-based accounts to fee-based accounts, get away from commission-based. That's good for you. The public. Expect more growth in the RIA business, registered investment advisor business, that's mine, and expect bigger firms to get bigger because margins are smaller. Costs. So firms like TD Ameritrade, Schwab, and Fidelity already have substantial relationships with registered investment advisors like myself, and they'll do fine. They'll get bigger. The big firms will always get bigger, okay? They move, okay? Also, the smaller accounts, are going to be less serviced because of the squeeze in profits. So that means smaller accounts under 25,000, you're going to be kind of on your own. It's going to be tough for you. So it's not going to be good for everybody. It's just not. Do you have a question about this change in the law or how to evaluate a financial advisor? Well, check in now on the phone, 888-99-CHART, or send me a note at contactsteve on investtalk.com.
Steve has some new checkup dates listed on investtalk.com. He'll be in San Ramon May 11th and San Jose May 25th. To schedule your time on either of those dates, Just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab.
888-99 Chart. Let's talk to Saul in Livermore. How you doing, Saul?
Doing well, thank you, Steve. I have a quick question about the stealth profit traders. I don't know if you ever heard of them. They use the hook law as far as how you trade, and the bottom line is the zero when you start trading, and you subscribe a membership is like $2,500,
and right.
They give you signs. I don't know if you heard of it.
I'm familiar with the yes, I'm familiar with it.
So what's your take on it? Is that
don't
really
do it.
A viable solution?
No.
Don't do it. That's what I think.
No.
If it's too good to be true, it is.
Huh? Yeah, that's right. You know, every one of these trading systems, quote unquote systems, come and go. They come and go. And why are, if there's such a good system, Saul, why are they selling it to you? Why are they even mentioning it to anybody? Why don't they just, instead of making money on the $2,500 or whatever, why don't they just use it and make billions if it's so good? They don't, because it's not, because there is no magic box. If there was, the person with the magic box would be using the magic box and wouldn't tell you until they're multi-bazillionaires and could care less about you. So please, do not buy into it, Saul. Don't.
Got it. Thanks.
Thank you very much. I've seen them come and go, so many of them. You know, red light, green light, you know, it tracks the trades, and this is how you do it. And look, let's show you how it, look, we back test it. Look how it's made money every time, all the time. Bull crapola that does not work, has never worked. I don't care. They're lying. Whoever it is. If it was so good, why are they selling it to you? They're making the money by selling you the system. My father-in-law has done this so many times with get-rich-quicks. He likes to play the horses, and he buys these things, studies, and how all these mathematical formulas, and you know, you plug them into the horse racing thing, and all of a sudden you're going to pick winners, right? How come I have to help pay for him to live if this is such a great system? It does not work. None of this works. Hard work, discipline, understanding, being diversified, doing your research, those things work. Grits, quicks, the tips, someone gives you a tip about something, doesn't work. You'll lose your money. Bad times for hedge funds. Remember, even the hedge funds, these guys are supposed to be the smart guys, these hedge fund guys. They're down about 1% year to date. If they're so, remember, they're charging a couple percent a year for your assets and then 20% of your profits that they make. So they're doing their best to make lots of money, and they have lost a $500 trillion outflow of hedge funds so far this year. Don't buy into it. Even they're not right all the time. These smart guys are not that smart all the time. It's hard. It's very difficult. If there was a system, don't you think these hedge fund guys would be using the system? Of course they would. There is no system. It's just hard work. That's what it is. You're listening to Invest Talk. We still have time for your question. We'll get to it before the hour's up. I'm registered investment advisor Steve Peasley. I'm here to answer your questions. 888-99-CHART. So give me a call. $888-99-CHART. Let's try to answer one more question before our hour's up. 888-99-CHART. The 24-hour number is always open.
Hi, Steve and Justin. I'm a new listener, and I love your show. Thank you very much for all the wonderful information. I have two questions. The first one is, what do you think of Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae for the long-term investment, 5 to 10 years? And the second question is, I was wondering if you guys can provide a webinar, paid webinar, teaching us the basic or fundamental terms, so when I go to my online brokerage, I can understand what these numbers are. That would be a wonderful thing to do. Again, thank you for all the information you guys have provided.
Well, to answer the second question first, Justin and I have talked about that very thing, about how to teach over the internet using the web and using, you know, different sources of information we can channel it through. And we've talked about it, but we're just so busy. It's very difficult to find the time to do that. But we've considered it to have some more advanced classes and more beginner classes, just classes, you know, and maybe YouTube them. And, you know, we've talked about it, but we'll see. Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, you know, those federal home loan mortgage corporations, long haul, you know, they're going to be around. For instance, Freddie Home Loan Mortgage Corporation is purchases home mortgages and funds them in the capital markets to use mortgage-backed securities or debt instruments. I am not a big fan at this time because interest rates are so very low and you know, it's hard for them to make money. I don't think it would be a very good investment for the next 10 years. I do not. I think the stock market will be a much better place and you'll do a lot better not in the loan business, personally speaking. Just not something I would recommend. I don't think it's a place you can make a lot of money over in the next 10 years compared to the stock market. I think you'll do a lot better over there. The Fed leaves the interest rates alone. They met and they announced today. But what did Janet Yellen say? Remember last time she was mentioning that there's risk out there in the world economy to our economy, and therefore she wasn't going to raise rates last time, even though that means the last time they met, even though they raised them in December, and in December when they met, they projected we're going to raise rates over the next year or so, and then they backed off that, and when they raised rates in December, the market tanked in January 10%, worst January in history. And then in the next meeting, which is they have it every 4 to 6 weeks, they backed off raising rates, and then the market started to recover. And it's recovered ever since, right? So it recovered almost all its losses made in January. Now they're very careful with what they said this time. Well, we're not going to raise rates. And the fears we had before are moderating a little bit about the world economy, so we're not so fearful about it. So they're very careful in her notes, in her minutes, in her speech after the meeting. And the market kind of said, okay, I guess it's not bad news, not good news. I guess she may or may not raise the rates. Left enough doubt in there that they will raise, but gave a little doubt that they might raise. Don't you just love it? And the market kind of shrugged its shoulders at the whole thing. It wasn't bad news, it wasn't good news. So you had that mixed result today with the Dow up 53, the NASDAQ down 25, and the S&P up 4. So the market felt bit better about it because it was down before that, not tremendously. So that was the results of the meetings, the Federal Reserve meetings. Okay. Now I had a call, an email about a company from John saying that him and his girlfriend love the show, and so I appreciate the nice, kind words. But they wanted to ask about a company called Omega Flex, OFLX. Okay, OFLX. It manufactures flexible metal hoses used to carry gases and liquids for the construction, automotive, medical industry. It's too expensive. Sales are going down, and the PE is like 23. I probably would not. I don't have no thumbs up for me on it. I wouldn't buy it at this point. It needs to be cheaper. Our time is up. You can see dates for personal retirement reviews. These are what our informational meetings. I can give you my opinion on your accounts and answer your questions, talk about what we can help you with. I'll be in San Ramon May 11th, San Jose May 25th, everybody. So schedule a time if you want. Go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab. I'm Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein and everybody at KPP, thank you for listening today. Let's do it again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis. and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.